Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 15. Very interesting, but I want to start back in verse 13 to get the idea, the context of what it is that we're dealing with. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And you just stop right here. This goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15. I mean, if you look at the whole of Genesis 3, you see the dragon trying to get an advantage over the woman. Okay? He is the serpent, the devil, Satan, the dragon's all the same person. And he is trying to deceive Eve. He's trying to gain an advantage over her. He's trying to destroy her or whatever. But God makes a promise that the seed of the woman will conquer or bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. And so there is this, I will put enmity. There's an enmity here. There's a warfare here between this serpent, the dragon, and the woman. So verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. And I'll just say this, if you just think about persecution, the devil hates the church. The church is a woman in the scriptures. It is a she. And anybody who is saved, anybody who says, I believe the Bible is the word of God, there is a price you're going to have to pay. There are things that, I mean, I can tell when I did something, you know, like a sermon or a teaching or something like that, that God was going to use and God was going to bless and whatever, I can tell sometimes because I'll get punished for doing it spiritually, sometimes physically, attacks on my body. And I'm not trying to make myself as, oh, God, well, the devil hates me. He hates me because I believe this book. And when I try to tell others and give life to them, by telling them what's in this book, and it's the same with you too, you will get punished for it. The devil will persecute you. So verse 14, remember we talked about this last week, to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent, verse 15, was cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Terms here. What it came out of his mouth, it's water as a flood, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. This is how I'll get her. I'll wash her away with the flood. What does the Bible say about that? We're going to see. That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Verse 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth. You got two women here. And swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at, first of all, let's look at the symbolism here of what's going on. Literally, this happened. Absolutely. It's going to happen. It's happening now, is what we'll see. So the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Think about what kind of, think of the symbolism of the water. There's pure water and there's muddy water. Clean water, dirty water. Calm waters, troubled waters. So you have opposites in the Bible. So what comes out of the dragon's mouth is going to be dirty, it's not going to be calm, it's going to be troubled, it's going to be corrupt, it's going to be filthy water, all right? Salt water, as opposed to pure water. Salt is it's an emblem of fire in the Bible, all right? The sea is a salt water ocean. You have the lake of fire. Salt burns. When you put it on a sore or something like that, it burns, and there's just things there. But anyway, so think about that. Now listen to this. Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are as, very, very important word in the Bible is the word as. Because then it's going to tell you what this is. This is as that. And the Bible's going to show you the linkage between two ideas. So if you're looking at what this water symbolizes in the Bible, then look no further than the Bible. You don't need anything else to know what it means. That's how you compare spiritual things here with spiritual things there. Don't try to learn the traditions of the ancient Hebrews and the ancient people of ancient Palestine. They saw water as this and flood waters. You know, the Nile River used to do that. You don't need all that. Study your Bible. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. So think of that, deep waters. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. So let's look at it like this. God said that his doctrine distilled as the dew and as the gentle rain upon the herbs. Okay, so his doctrine, think of the whole idea of a seed. Here's the seed, which is the word, being planted in the ground. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watereth, God brings the increase. So Paul was a church planter. He went to evangelize an area, and he planted the seed in let's say, Corinth. But then Apollos came along, and Apollo was more of a pastor or bishop, in that he took what was already planted, and he began to nurture it. He began to water it with doctrine from the Word of God. But then it was up to God to bring the increase. So think of the words of God being like water. Ephesians tells us that Christ washes his bride, the church, a woman, washing them with the water of his word or by his word. So we have the relationship between the word of God and water and the gentle rain that comes down, not the terrible storms that come down, but he said the dew, the gentle rain, the nice, easy, calm, waters the grass, waters the field type of rain. Or drawing up water from a well. That's what Jesus was teaching the Samaritan woman at the well. But then we have a dragon. His words come out of his mouth. What did he do in the Garden of Eden? Some say, I believe Satan had, sex with Eve, and the Bible doesn't say that. It does not tell you that. People make that up in their mind, but it doesn't say that. Here's what we know 100% for sure that the devil did to Eve. He poured water out of her to carry her away. Carry her away from what? Number one, that the authority of her husband, the authority of God's law over them, carried her away. She got washed away. So think about how this is being done right now. Satan has words. He has doctrine. He has mystery ideas and secrets, all this stuff. He's got false gospels, false spirits, false Jesuses. He's got false apostles. He's got false angels. He's got everything. And all of that, his mystery doctrine, comes out of his mouth. He wants to do one thing. He wants to wash or carry away the woman with the flood. He wants to just get rid of her. He wants to drown her, bury her in that flood water. That's what the dragon is doing here in Revelation 12. So now let's take this idea and let's go look in scriptures. And it's real easy to do. Just study floods and waters and things like that. I know that's a lot of verses, but you can kind of get the gist of it. Psalm 18:3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved. I like being saved. Amen. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. That's what we're saved from. We are saved from the dragon, the enemies, this false doctrine, all that stuff. Saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even unto his ears. So here is someone who is, the floods are overcoming them. They, what does he say? They're the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And here I see death coming on me. I see I'm going to die. What did I do? I called upon the Lord and he heard me. I can tell you that there was April 1st, what was it, 2006. I was being electrocuted nearly to death. I was going to die. And upon realizing that I was going to die, I made my call to the Lord. I couldn't even use my mouth to do it because I was paralyzed. So in my mind, God have mercy on me. And I thought, I don't want to leave my wife and children. I don't want to die and leave them. And it released me just like that. I'll never get over that as long as I live. Praise the Lord. So when you feel overwhelmed, and I'll be honest, there are times when I just feel overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed sometimes with the responsibilities of being a good husband, to taking care of my wife, being a good dad, having wisdom to raise my boys, my girls, and my grandchildren, responsibilities of being a pastor here at Bethel. I get overwhelmed by that, the responsibility of being so many people's pastor out in different areas, and it's growing. And I'm just overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed by people who just want to let me know how much they hate my guts. I get overwhelmed by that. It would be easy. I don't care about those people. But, you know, I get overwhelmed by it. So I cry unto the Lord. God save me. God help me. God help me get through this. Help me endure this. I promise you it works. Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, let's count. You're going to see the gospel here in Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and who in whose spirit is no guile. 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right? When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, that my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Boy, it's a good recipe for salvation, people. Amen. Okay? Don't hide your sin from God. And acknowledge, God, I did wrong. God, I messed up. I did wrong. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. No, you don't have to tell a priest, and you don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to tell the church what you did. You don't have to. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. You do have to tell the Lord. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Why? God's forgiven sins, and they can't hurt him. Thou art my hiding place. The woman fled into the wilderness, into a hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. I love it. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee. This is God saying to us. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord mercy shall compass him about. Whereas before, you had the flood waters surrounding you. Now, you've got something else surrounding you. Mercy. Mercy for what? Mercy to forgive your sins. I'll just say to you, just before we go any further, if you can think right now while you're listening to me of things that you've done that you know are a violation of what's in this book, then stop right here and say, God, I'm sorry. I can't hide it from you. God, you had me listen to this teaching at this time to deal with me about things I've done or things I've been doing. God, please forgive me. I can't carry the burden of my sin. I can't promise you, Lord, that I'll be perfect from here on out. But God, I want to abide under the shadow of your mercy and be compassed by your mercy, or this sin will turn into flood waters and they'll absolutely destroy me. So you do that, I'll wait here for a minute. You can stop the recording if you want. I'm going to move on. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all that are upright in heart. So if you had a little prayer time with God and He forgave all your sins and you've had that burden lifted, let it out. All right? Give God a good shout out. All right? People will think you're crazy, but that's okay because you believe the Bible. They already do. Psalm 66, verse 4. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. That's what it says here. The serpent sent the flood out, and the earth helped the woman, and she opened her mouth and drank it. We're going to see how real that is in a little bit. But anyway, he turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Had no effect on the woman whatsoever. The flood came out, and God turned it into dry land. They just walked through it, didn't they? Hallelujah. Psalm 69:1, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. False doctrines and the words that people speak to us, and it gets us right down in our soul. And I experience that. Sometimes people don't say very nice things to me. Sometimes they say things to hurt me. I understand. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried because mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. I've even read people that said that they hope that my ministry comes to an end soon. I've read that. I've heard them say it. That's up to God. It really is. And so if you've asked God to end my ministry, it's up to Him. He can do it. He's got my permission to do it whenever He wants. But anyway, they that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness. Amen. And my sins are not hid from Thee. That's exactly what we read back here in Psalm 32. He said, mine iniquity, I acknowledge my sin unto Thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Says it again right here. Then I restored that which I took. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. Let not and so as a believer in this book, you are going to fail God in the thing that you said, God, I don't want to do it anymore. Now, I understand that your life is nowhere near what it used to be. But you're still got a flesh body that hates God's law. And so you're going to do things. And I'm just telling you, if you believe the book, your life will be, God, forgive me again. God, forgive me again. God, forgive me again. How many times in one day do you think God will forgive your sins? Go look it up. It's in the Bible. Let not them that wait on Thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek Thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Mm-mm-mm. Psalm 74:12. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. God works the salvation. Thou didst divide the sea by Thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. You know, something I just thought of this while I'm going through all this. Think of the floodwaters coming out of the dragon's mouth in waves. sound travels in waves, just like water waves. It's the exact same thing. I'll throw this in here. Think of music. Do you think the dragon is using music to carry away the woman? Oh, yeah, definitely. He's carried away this whole country with music. He's carrying away churches all over the place with very ungodly, carnal, worldly, sensual, lascivious, not even mentioning the name of Jesus type of music. And it's overwhelming. And God's people are going, I can't take this. This is killing us. We can't sit here. God's people just go, I can't say what it is, but there's something not right about this. My mom and a couple of her buddies was running around on a little vacation one time, and they just went into this church, and that music started up, and they all looked at each other, and they said, we ain't supposed to be here. They said, from the moment we walked in the door, there was a spirit there, and we just were troubled. And I said, Mom, what it is that the spirit that's in you was at enmity with the spirit that was in that church. And I said, there were devils surrounding you, and you just couldn't take it. You said, you know what, gals, we got to leave. And that's what they did. Psalm 93:3, the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. See it? It's right there. The floods lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Sound goes in waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Mm-mm-mm. So Jesus stands in the boat and says, peace, be still. And it's peace right then and there. Peace, be still. The Lord is on high. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. So notice that there's a contrast here. Here's the noise and the waves of the floods of ungodliness and ungodly men. God is mightier than those waves. It was his test. It was Jesus didn't, when they were in the boat and, Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? These waves are going to kill us. Jesus didn't sprinkle his magic wand in the water. He didn't pour bat wing oil in there. He gave his words. His words calm the sea, calm the waves. Peace, be still. Thy testimonies are very sure. This Bible is right and sure in everything that it says. Holiness become thy house, O Lord, forever. All right, now, Song of Solomon. Chapter 8, verse 7. Listen to this. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Listen. Who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Our tribulation? And all those things that he mentions there, I can't reel them off from memory. But what is it that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Many waters cannot quench love, and neither can the floods drown it. So here is God looking at this woman, and he loves her. And he sees the flood waters coming. And God says, I can't let you do that. Can't let you do that. So, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up all that water. We're going to study that. Probably, I've got it in my notes already. I'm just going to wait and deal with it next week. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Why did the earth, we know this woman represents what's in heaven. She's in the heaven. She's a wonder in heaven. She's, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and things like that. So we know she's exalted. But here's this lowly woman, the earth. I thought the earth was like the bad woman. Why is she helping her? We're going to see it. Let me just say this. God saves and recreates bad people. That's what he does. Isaiah 59:17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. That's what Paul was talking about. And an helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, that would be the east, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. Think of as it was in the days of Noah. And ask yourself, do I see a flood in the last days in the book of Revelation? It's right there. So think about that. Jesus was right in what he was saying. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I believe this Bible is the standard. It is the sign of who to follow. That's what a standard or like a flag is what it, you know, kind of what it represents. The Lord will lift up a standard, and a standard has the word stand in it. Flags, stop and think about this. Back in the day when, before all the electronics we have in warfare, the men on the battlefield followed the flag. The flag bearer was probably the most important man in the whole deal. That and the trumpeter, okay, the bugler. Because as long as the flag bearer was standing, that meant to the guys behind it, hey, we're still fighting. We're still going. If the standard bearer fell and the flag went down, that meant to the guys in back, we're losing. We should probably flee. That's how important that standard bearer was. Very, very powerful image. So God lifts up a standard. I believe the standard is the Word of God. It's, you know, all those things related to that. Anyway, he said, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. This is what protects you from the floodwaters, from the false doctrine, from the lies, from everything else. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. This is God now lifting up the standard. He's going to save this woman. He's going to protect her. And he's giving her this standard, the words of his covenant. And his spirit is not going to depart out of their mouth. Jeremiah 46:7. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt. Think of Egypt. Egypt is always a picture of the kingdom of the Antichrist, the kingdom of the devil. Pharaoh, the sun god. Pharaoh's got a serpent coming out of his forehead. He's got a mark on his forehead. So this, you know, get kind of think of in that direction. Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. This woman is New Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, is a woman. Babylon is a woman. Cities are women. And so here in, where did we say this was? Jeremiah 46. The floodwaters coming up. The floods are coming to destroy. Egypt riseth up like a flood. And he saith, I will go up and cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. I'm going to wash them away. I'm going to destroy them with my words, with my false doctrine, with my lost words, my anti-gospel. That's what he's doing. God's people call unto God, and God saves them from that. Jonah chapter 2. Was Jonah in the flood waters? Yeah. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. There's the floods. And all thy billows and thy waves passed over me, overwhelmed with false doctrine and false ideas and false teachings and people's words against you. Thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Mm-mm-mm. And you know what? And did God save Jonah? Sure did. Now watch this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Remember that song? I love that song. The more I go back and read from the scriptures what that song actually says, or what that idea actually says, that story, it becomes more and more one of my most favorite concepts from the Bible. That is the idea that a Christian is always like a house. We're the temple of God. We're the tabernacle. We are the house of God, all right? And the wise man has built us, and we are on a rock. That does not mean that we will never have any storms. It doesn't mean that. The reason, if God made a promise to us that we would never have storms and things against us, then it would have been okay to build us on the sand. It would have been fine, because God, you know, you would say, I can build it on sand. There's never any rain here. Never nothing here. Why'd I have to? That's not true. The wise man built it on a rock because there are storms. Not to make sure that there are no storms. They're going to come. Waves of ungodly influences are going to affect you. Now I want you to think of this, okay? Think of you're a born again, you're a child of God, and you're serving God all the way to the end. Okay, so I'm just assuming that's you. If you go back and look at the history of your life since you turned to Christ, you can see there were times when you were doing very well in God. God was just, He was working in you. Your life was clean. Your attitude was good. You were in love with everybody around you. You couldn't study the Word of God enough. You couldn't get enough preaching. You're just singing gospel songs all day long. And just plugging along for the Lord. But it didn't stay that way. Wave of ungodly influences came rolling in, didn't it? The waves of what you used to be in the past came riding in. And that was troubling. And you thought, well, here I am again, right back, the way I used to be. Or new things are creeping in, or things I hate, but boy, they're just surrounding me. People are calling me now, hey, why don't you come, with us, the way we used to do. And old habits, old impulses, I can't. It's just like being in the waves. I like to go swimming in the ocean where these waves are coming in, and I have yet to be able to withstand one. Okay? Unless, I'm only in like 4 inches of water. But if I'm out there up to here and a wave comes in, ain't no way. Okay? But I've noticed, in swimming out there, those waves coming in, there's something in me that wants to keep my body upright and my head above waters. Okay? So yes, there is even though the waves come in, there is still that desire on me to remain upright. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. Because this is how God shows us these things. We understand these things. We think about what His Word means. What are these waves coming in? Okay? And then once the wave has passed and we're still standing, amen. Back to singing gospel songs, reading the Bible, talking to people, loving your family, loving everything about God and doing well. And then here comes another one. Same thing. That's been the pattern of your life. One wave after another. You know what God promised in the new heaven and new earth? John said, "Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. That's the word of God. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Rain descended, floods came, that's number two. Winds blew, number three, beat upon that house. And it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Think of 2 Thessalonians 2, falling away first. What's going to happen? The floods are going to come out and cause everyone who's built upon sand to fall. And great was the fall of it. Go study Babylon. Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. So, the serpent attempted to carry away the woman. He hates her. So he attempted with the words of his mouth and his doctrines. That's what he was doing with Eve. He was trying to kill her and carry her away with the floodwaters out of his mouth. In the end, it doesn't work. Because God saves and protects. And God has a way for, you know, I just thought of this. I'm scratching my eye. I remember when Samuel, the prophet, when he spoke, the Bible says none of his words fell to the ground. Something like that. Here, when the dragon spoke, all of his words fell not only to the ground, the earth opened her mouth and sucked them all in. Now they can't hurt the woman anymore. I don't know exactly what it means, but I think there's a connection there. But you just ponder this for a while. Ponder, think about the waves that come after you. And you know what? You may be in a place right now where everything seems to be working well for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glad to hear it. Rejoice in it. Do everything that you can. Because I'm telling you, there's another wave coming in. There's another one coming. And if you'll call unto God, I just thought of this. You remember when those waves, you ever stood and watched the ocean? Remember when those waves come in, they come crashing into the shore? Where do they go? The earth drinks them up. And they are no more. I love this book. I love it. I love every word in it. It's so wise and so great and so powerful, and God opens our eyes to how things really are instead of how the devil wants you to believe that they are. That's his words. And so that wave comes in and God holds you steady. And when that wave comes in, the earth just swallows it all up and it's gone. And it goes no further. And that's so beautiful. I love you. Next week, we'll talk about this woman. And we'll talk about the earth. She has a mouth. The earth has a mouth. The earth has a womb. She does. Okay? And the earth, if you've ever heard of like Gaia or Isis or Ashtar, Ishtaroth, Diana, Venus, you ever heard of this goddess woman? Okay? I'm going to show you something here. She's always like a fertility goddess, which means she's a... Anyway, you get it. I'm going to show you something from the Word of God. Okay? And I'll just say this and just keep this. You just think about it. God saves very, very nasty, bad people and makes them into something new. Okay? He does. I love you. It's good to be with you. I needed this probably as much or more as anybody today. Okay? I needed it. So I thank God for helping me and for listening to me and for when the waves come in, He gives me that desire to stay standing, keep my head above water. Okay? That's a good God that He is. All right. We will see you next time. Keep us in your prayers. Bye-bye.